In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. We're continuing with our series on discipleship, and we're looking at the theme of discipleship and holiness with a special focus on the first 14 verses of Colossians chapter 3. And it's a vital theme, but it's not always a popular one to think about holiness. Simon Ponsonby, who is pastor of theology at St. Aldate's Church in Oxford, is a popular writer and speaker. He's written a number of books, including a book on the Holy Spirit called Inside Out, and a book on holiness called Different. And he reflects on his experience of writing those two books and the reaction. And what he says is that the book on the Holy Spirit is one that generated a lot of interest, a lot of incitement, a lot of enthusiasm. And in my view, it's a really good book. But he says the book, Different, that is on holiness, which in my humble opinion is an even better book, he said that generated much less interest, much less excitement, and much less enthusiasm, even though it is such a vital theme. And I think there's a number of reasons for that, a number of reasons why we struggle with the theme of holiness. And probably one of them is that holiness has a bit of a bad press. What's a holy person like? Well, the caricature is that they are rather dull and monochrome. They are sometimes a bit miserable. They're not the most fun people to be around. A holy person, well, isn't that someone who has a long list of do's and don'ts? Mostly don'ts. They live life in black and white, and they're a little bit grey. And not only are they not very exciting people to be around, but they might be rather annoying people to be around. Their list of do's and don'ts, they're going to apply them to me. They're going to be censorious. They're going to be judgmental. They're going to be wagging their finger at me. A holy person, well, they're rather dull, they're rather grey, and they're rather judgmental. They're a bit holier than thou. If that's holiness, no wonder it gets a bad press. And no wonder people aren't very excited by a book on holiness. What I hope we're going to see this morning from God's word is that holiness actually is very, very different from that. It's something that's wonderful. It's something that's full of life and light and colour. It's something incredibly attractive. And I also hope that we'll be really practical this morning. And we'll think about ways that we can really live out the Bible's teaching on holiness in our own lives. It's really two themes to this. First of all, to try and cast a vision of holiness. What is the pattern for holiness that we are shown here in Colossians chapter 3? And then secondly, how do we do it? How do we live like this practically in cutting-edge situations today? First of all, the vision of holiness, and I'm hoping that the PowerPoint will come up on the screen with Kerry and John. Is that okay? So thinking about holiness and thinking about the pattern for holiness. And so, first of all, the vision. What is the vision? What is the pattern? And we see that it is all to do with Jesus Christ. The first four verses of Colossians 3, Christ is mentioned explicitly four times. We are to set our minds on him. We're set our hearts on him. He has been seated in the heavenly places, and it is on him that we need to focus. Holiness is about Jesus Christ. Nathan has already helpfully helped us to understand the concept of holiness. It is to do with being set apart. It is to do with being different. It carries a sense with it of purity, of otherness. And we recognize that and we see that. But what we really need is to see that fleshed out in a life, in a person. We need holiness with flesh on, with skin on. We need to be able to see it. We need to be able to hear about it. And in Jesus Christ, we see holiness personified. We see what a holy life is really like. If we want to understand holiness, if we want to hear a holy person speaking, if we want to see a holy person acting, then we look at Jesus Christ. We focus on him. And this right away undercuts the idea of holiness as dull and grey and monochrome, because Jesus lived life in multicolour. He was someone who attracted people to him. For sure, he did repel others, often religious people who were interested in dry and formal religion. But those who wanted a real relationship with God, those often on the fringe of society, those who were the outcasts, those who were struggling, he attracted them to him. And we see that holiness, as Jesus defines it, is something wonderful. And we see something more as we go through this, because we see that not only is holiness being like Christ, but the pattern of his life and his ministry and his mission gives us the pattern for holiness, specifically the death resurrection pattern of his ministry gives us the pattern, the shape for holiness. Stick with this, because I think this is really exciting, and it takes us to the heart of the Bible's teaching on holiness. We see in these verses that Christ has died and is risen. It pervades these verses, doesn't it? Jesus came, he lived amongst us, he died for us on the cross, and he rose again from the dead, and he has ascended into heaven, and he is coming again one day. That is the pattern of the gospel. These are the wonderful gospel events. And we are made alive as we believe in Christ and as we believe in these amazing things. We are made alive with Christ. We are saved. We become new people. It's so exciting. It's so wonderful. And if you haven't received this, reach out to Jesus now. Believe that he died for you. Believe that he rose from the dead. Believe that he loves you, and put your faith in him. And you will be made alive. You will be made new. And so Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose. And we believe in these things, and we know forgiveness. The old things are gone. The sins that we've done are washed away. We've been made clean, and we receive new life, new resurrection life. And it's brilliant. But here's the thing. The same gospel pattern, the death and resurrection of Jesus, the sins in the past and the new life in the future, this is also the pattern for our holiness. So we see it here. Paul says, you know, Christian, you've been made alive with Christ. You've got new resurrection life within you. Therefore, set your hearts and minds on things above. Your emotions, your will, your intellect. Focus on Christ. Fix your eyes on him. You have new life, and now it's new lifestyle. Live differently. Live the new resurrection life. And there's all these wonderful Christ-like virtues that we are called to put on. And the old way of life, well, that's gone. That's in the past. The sins that you've been saved from. Therefore, those vices, those terrible things that mess you up and mess other people up, put them off. Get rid of them. Put them to death. Your sins have been nailed to the cross with Christ. Therefore, don't live that way any longer. You see that it's the same pattern for salvation and for holy living. Jesus died and Jesus rose. We have been forgiven our sins and we've been given new life. Now, therefore, live as someone who's free. Live as someone who's alive. Live as someone who is getting rid of that old way of living and coming into the wonderful, light-filled life of holiness that God has for us. See, the pattern for holiness is not something that is different to the gospel. The pattern for holiness is the gospel itself. It is the death and resurrection pattern of Jesus. A number of people have used this phrase, and I think it's very, very helpful. The way in is the way on. So the way into the Christian life, the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the way on in the Christian life. It's not that we're saved as Christians and then we move on to something else. We think of holiness. We look at this book and it gives us 10 easy points and we follow some sort of a formula to get holiness. No, we get holiness by coming back to the gospel and living the death, resurrection pattern by which we've been saved. Photos coming up on the screen of Jack Nicklaus and his golf teacher. And it seems a bit random, but hopefully I can show you where this fits in. So Jack Nicklaus, famous golfer, possibly the best golfer who's ever lived, 20 Masters titles, 20 major titles rather, and 71 USPGA titles. A fantastic golfer, over three decades. Someone who dominated the golfing world. But Jack Nicklaus was a very humble golfer, and he came back every year to his golf teacher, a man named Jack Grouse, and he said, "Teach me to play golf." Every year. He came back to first principles. He went back to basics. So he would have won this major tournament, say the US Masters, and he would come back to Jack Grout and he would say, "Teach me to play golf." If you look at me, it's going to throw this illustration awry if you're any good at golf. So if you're a real golfer, you might like to look away now. But he would say, "This is how you address the ball. This is how you hold the club. This is how you swing," something like this. You bring it back and you bring it back and then you go down. Very, very simple, very straightforward. The very basics of golf. It wasn't saying, "Jack, you need to learn something new. You need to do something different." It was, "I'm teaching you to play golf. I'm teaching you the basics. I'm teaching you the fundamentals." And that is how Nicklaus stayed on top. And we grow. As holy people, we grow in the life of holiness, not by getting into some new fad, not by following some principles that have never been thought of before, but by going back to basics, by going back to first principles, by going to the Bible and saying, "Show me the gospel, show me the pattern, show me the death, resurrection pattern, so that I can live a holy life in the power of the Holy Spirit." You get the idea. You get the idea of the pattern. I'm really excited by this. And sometimes when you're excited, you don't communicate so well. So are you getting this? Is this clear? That the way in is the way on, and we don't grow in holiness by moving away from the gospel and getting into something else. We grow in holiness by living the death, resurrection pattern by which we are saved. That's the pattern. That's the vision that we get in these wonderful verses in Colossians 3. But how are we to do it? Well, one of the key things is to know that it is God who works in us. We read in verse 10 in chapter 3 that we are being renewed by God. We've put on the new self, which is being renewed. And you notice that it's passive, the language, the tense that it's being used. We're not doing the renewing. We're not working this up. It is God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is working his renewing power, his renewing life within us. Without God, we don't get off first base as far as holiness is concerned. That will just be moralism. It will be dry and dusty. We might get into dry formal religion, and that always seems to go wrong. No, this is life in the power of the Spirit. This is God working in us. Without that, it will be blood, sweat, and a lot of tears, and no lasting fruit. It is God who works in us to lead us on to a holy life. That is absolutely vital. But we see that God works in us so that we can live a holy life. We are involved in this. We are not passive. Let's look at some of the phrases that are used here. Set your minds on things above. That's not passive. He's asking us to do something. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. He's certainly asking us to do something there. Put to death. That's not a gentle image, is it? If we're putting something to death in us, that's a strong image. That's an image of battle, of fight, of struggle. We are being called to engage in the power that God gives. We are being called to do something. We're being called to put off and put on. Again, there is activity involved here. These are real active images. God works it in by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we work it out. He calls on us to cooperate with him as we really engage, as we really press on to live holy lives. I've said that we don't grow by checklists and by new things. But here is something that I think is thoroughly biblical that just helps us to grow in holiness. The acronym ANTHEM. So particularly with the negative things, the things that belong to the old way of life, the things that are dull and grey and messy and mess us up and spoil other people as well. Say if we're struggling with lustful thoughts or evil desires or greed, what we need to do is avoid. That's an important thing. When we are tempted, say no within 5 seconds. I think that's helpful. And then turn to something magnificent. Turn to something like Christ crucified. Paul Rockley preached on these verses over the summer. And you may remember he quoted Thomas Chalmers, the 19th century theologian philosopher, about the power, the positive power of a new affection and how that new affection expels within it some of the struggles and the troubles that we have. Focus on Christ. Hold the pure thing in our minds until the vice is gone. Enjoy the greater pleasure of the promises of God and move on to meaningful, Christ-exalting activity. We are involved. We are engaged. We're in a battle, a fight, a struggle. And God gives us all the power so that we can press on in the life of holiness. But he wants us to engage. He wants us to be involved. And my encouragement to you, as I encourage myself, is to aim high as far as holiness is concerned. We will never become perfect. In the English Standard Version, there's a better translation of bear with and forgive, because in the original text it's an ongoing thing, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. It's something that we never get beyond. We are always going to need to bear with each other. I'm going to need to bear with you, and you're going to need to bear with me. You're going to need to forgive the person next to you, and they are going to forgive you. It's an ongoing thing. We never reach perfection. Sometimes in Christian life, people have pretended that we can be absolutely perfect in this life. C.H. Spurgeon, the 19th century preacher, once came across someone who said, "I am living the perfect Christian life, and you, Spurgeon, are living on a lower level of holiness, and you need to get up to where I am, a state of sinless perfection." Spurgeon had a glass of water on the table next to him, and he picked it up, and he poured it over the man's head. And he said, by the man's reaction, this is when he was reporting later, by the man's reaction, the doctrine of sinless perfection was speedily disproved. Whether we think that that's a good approach or not, the theology is sound. We don't become perfect in this life. Nevertheless, aim high. Here in Colossians 3, you get the sense that Paul is saying, go on, go for it. Set your minds, set your hearts on Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. Put to death, put off the things that belong to the old way of life, and put on the wonderful virtues that belong to holiness. They're not really rules. The NIV heading in our Bibles is unhelpful in that regard. They are wonderful Christ-like virtues that are so brilliant, that are so attractive, that are so great that we want to live a life of holiness. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiving others, bearing with others. This is what a holy life really looks like. This is what the life of Jesus looks like. So I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, to press on in this life of holiness. There are few things, I think, that are more important. We are called to be different. We are called to have the life and light of Christ within us, so that when we're in the workplace and someone rubbed us up the wrong way, we respond with compassion and kindness. We're meant to be different, so that when we are tempted, perhaps, to commit adultery, to do something that we shouldn't, to live a life that is greedy, we just know that God is calling us in a different direction, and we know that we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and we live that out, we work that out, we say no. God gives us the power, God gives us the strength. He helps us to engage, and he helps us to be different. Where is God polishing us? Where is God changing us? We've got a final slide that's coming up on the screen. A poet who I love is a poet called Lucy Shaw, who is a North American, now very elderly, but she taught at a college in Vancouver, Regent College, Vancouver. And she has a book of poems called Polishing the Petoskey Stone. A Petoskey stone is what you see on the screen. It's not actually a stone at all. It's found on the shores of Lake Michigan in North America, and it's actually a six-sided coral. But when you see the stone, I've got one in my bag. One of our students from Spurgeon's went to Lake Michigan and brought me back one of these stones, and I've got one. And it just looks grey and dull. But actually, if you polish it, and you polish it, and you polish it, the wonderful pattern that is there comes to the surface. You need to wet it, and you need to polish it. Wet it, and you need to polish it. They have these mechanical gem tumblers so that you can do them very, very quickly. But Lucy found that you could do it by hand if you just did it over and over again. And she uses this as an image of God working holiness in us. We are grey and dull, and yet as we're dunked in the water, as we go through a sea of baptism, as we come to new life, and as God works on us, polishing us, honing us, then the pattern that is there comes to the surface. Holiness is not grey and dull. So rather, without holiness, we become grey and dull and messed up and struggling. But God leads us into the wonderful glory of holiness so that the pattern that was always there, what he created us to be, what he saved us to be, comes to the surface and begins to shine. Where is God polishing you at the moment? As you look at the vices and the virtues that Paul lists out, what is he calling you to put to death? And what is he calling you to put on? What are the new resurrection life are you struggling to live? What are you sometimes tempted to go back to in the old life? And sometimes you fall to that temptation. As we look at these lists, and we're going to close with a prayer of reflection, see where God is putting his finger on your life. See where God is challenging you. And resolve in the power that he gives to cooperate with his renewing work in you and to be changed. Holiness is vital in terms of discipleship. Let's not miss it. But let's, as God's people here, press on to live holy lives. Let's pause for a moment together. And then I'll lead us in this prayer. You might like to have the Bible open in front of you.